Bring the meeting to order, please. Annette, can I get a roll call, please?
Kurt Olsted. Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Doherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtzman.
Here.
Bruce James. Carl Richka.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevicich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Thank you. Can you read the Open Public Meetings Act?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers or circulations throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item up is approval of minutes. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Oh, sorry. Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Let the record reflect that our vice chair is here. Next item up is the chairman's report. We were just given authorization, and I'd like to announce that we'll be moving forward with the RFP for our public comment web portal. This is really the kickoff of the review of the regional master plan. This will now allow anybody interested to start posting comments. This is not the only method. There will be public meetings, et cetera, but this is really the first big step we have, so it's good news. That's all I have. Committee reports. Budget and finance, consideration of resolutions. Mr. Holtaway.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As we've discussed before, the RFP for this was posted back in May and June, sent to all qualified vendors that we knew of, and promoted by mail for opt-in. We had two firms submit responses and their qualifications by the required deadline. The Highland staff has evaluated the qualifications based on the specified criteria, and they went through a scoring process with both vendors and with each vendor to clarify any issues. The Budget and Finance Committee met on August 15, 2013, to review with staff the details associated with the RFP, and the resulting contract will be funded out of the approved fiscal year 13 Regional Master Plan budget. Proposed contract supports the requirements of Section 10 of the Highlands Act, Chapter 5 of the RMP. It will define the standards and requirements of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance for habitat conservation and forest mitigation plans. We went over these numbers carefully. We looked at the things. There was radical differences between the two. It was clear that Princeton Hydro was clearly the preferred vendor, and the recommendation from our committee is that we enter into a contract with Princeton Hydro for that. One of the reasons for their low-cost option was that they have included a nonprofit rates for the agency, and they have several contractors, Green Vest LLC, Environmental Ecological Solutions LLC, Forestry Service, and Leslie Sauer of Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve, demonstrating that they clearly understood the project, which was very clear based on the responses, and they have familiar with the plan and the process and everything else, and I'd like to recommend they vote yes to award the contract to Princeton Hydro.
Chairman, thank you. Based upon that report, we have a resolution approval contract for Highlands Functional Ecosystem Valuation Model Design and Forest Conservation Guidance Assistance. Can I get a motion on that?
I'll move it.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
What will this be used for?
This is part of the science that we have often been criticized as not having. and not having done. This is actually required by the Act. Probably should have been done quite a while ago.
How similar will this be to the forest sustainability report that's in question?
I'll return to staff for that.
I mean, that report is still posted, and I guess it's still pertinent. It's posted on the New Jersey Forestry Association's website. How different will that be from this?
Could I ask our director of planning and science to address that, Chris Dennis?
My concern is that we're spending this amount of money to repeat a study that's already been done, that is available.
Ms. Dennis?
Hi, good evening, Council. Good question, but this is to develop standards that are specific in the ordinance, and they will assist with individuals who are working in the Highlands region regarding forest mitigation plans. The work that we've done thus far has allowed us to craft this RFP and specify the guidance, but this isn't duplicative of any effort that we've done thus far.
Just one more question. Will we be repeating this process with other plans that we've done from the Charette reports that led to these type of studies? Will we be doing more studies in the future?
We have, to date, released several contracts similar to this. Of the past, the one that's almost ready for release to the public is the Stream Functional Value Assessment Guidance and Stream Guidance and Lake Guidance. That also was the genesis of that was those technical reports, the development of the RMP, the development of the ordinance, and the development of assistance with technical expertise to develop the standards for it.
Does this lead to additional ordinances and additional regulations?
It'll support our existing ordinance in the sections right now identified a placeholder.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Chairman, I was not on the committee that's recommending this, but I did look at the RFP and I looked online for the particular contract that they submitted, and it's quite extensive, and I think it's a good value. And as an ecology, professional ecologist, I think this will be a good addition to the Highlands' overall effort of what we're planning here. So I highly recommend that we vote yes on this.
Any other comments? Seeing none at this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Just with the reminder that keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
We have a microphone up here for you folks now.
Can't sit down as
well. I can't sit down.
I'll see you.
I'll actually sit down. Thank you.
Ms. Dennis should have stayed. Could have stayed up here. One of the problems we had, just for the record, is communication between the people sitting there and the public.
Okay.
And people getting up and down and getting to keep an accurate record on the microphone, so we put the public stay there.
My name's Hank Plump. I'm a farmer. I got a question for you on this. What is the cost on it?
$108,000.
$108,000?
$108,000.
Okay. If my memory serves me right, maybe Kurt might remember back, but the Forest Association and the Highlands Act, they were looking for forestry stuff, and the Forest Association did this synopsis where the whole thing that you're paying somebody to do for nothing. Foresters of New Jersey did this. Now, it was submitted to the Highlands. I don't know whatever happened to it, whether the Highlands staff or whatever pulled it apart, did whatever they did, but I don't know. But it was for nothing. My suggestion is, why don't you go back to the association? They did it once. Or they may. You guys probably still got a copy of it someplace. It was complete. Kurt, do you remember anything like that?
There was a report that the state foresters prepared in response to the Highlands Act.
Yes.
But it's quite some time ago, I'm sure.
And it was quite extensive. I mean, it was...
To what extent it addresses the merits of the science, I don't know. It takes a lot to the details of the act.
It did, because I had occasion... We're in the forestry business, too, you know what I mean? And it's pretty put forth. I mean, rather than spend... I'd take the time to go back and try to find this thing. It's got to be on the record someplace. For $108,000, I mean, that's...
Steph. Call me a Steph to address that again.
I'll come sit next to you.
Oh, fine. Go ahead. That's a good seat.
Thank you, Council. Christine Dennis, Director of Planning and Science. The report that you're referring to, we do have a copy of, and we've had a copy of it. It was submitted, I think, a while back, as part of public comments, and we did the technical advisory committee, the TAC charrette, and we went through that process, and we have that informed the RMP, and the regional master plan developed the policies, goals, and objectives, and that established the forest components that the council voted
on. These people here did that thing.
The council here? Or what are you, I'm not sure.
The staff here did.
The staff developed the RMP with the council approval, but what we're asking for tonight is not that at all. What we're asking for tonight are standards that are specific in a land use ordinance and the details that will support the next steps for understanding on the ground how we implement this. And the level that we've received so far in that report or any report that we've received is not this. It lets us get to this point, but it's not this. Detail is this.
You know, if I'm spending the money that you guys are spending, I'd go back and ask the forestry people if they could update. It's 9 years or 10 years now, 9 years anyway, before you spend the money. I'm opposed to this. I mean, I don't like spending money anywhere. I mean, it's too hard to come by. You know what I mean? And before anybody approves something like this, you people ought to go back and find out what's in that thing. Because it was quite an extent. I went to that charrette.
Mm-hmm. I was there too.
And it was a good, I mean, really, you guys ought to really, I mean, I wasn't here the last meeting, I don't know, but when you said that, us farmers don't forget, you know, that's everything you said. So.
Thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Did anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
Shall I stay here?
Yeah, I think that might be. Yes. If we could use the microphone back there so staff doesn't have to.
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. It's pretty outrageous to say that this RFP falls out of the charrette. I presented this council back in March a copy of the report of the Sustainable Forestry Committee, one of the expert committees designed to ensure public trust. The report's findings were dismissed and the findings hidden from the public. I also presented to this council a letter from one of its members registering his personal disgust, outlining that he was dismayed at the inaccurate statements and omission of material fact in the ecosystem management report. This RFP tonight is based on a forest integrity metric that your own expert technical advisory committee found not only highly flawed, but capable of doing severe damage to Highlands ecosystems. Now, I've been trying for 6 months to get an answer from this council on why the findings were dismissed, why it appears in none of your reports. The only answer I've gotten to date is these things happened a long time ago. Well, they didn't happen. What happened is central to the policy. It is central to your mission and your planning of the Highlands resources. I don't think you have any right to pass this RFP until you explain why the findings of this report were dismissed, because they are absolutely contrary to the basis of this RFP.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Yes.
Jerry Kern, Powhatan. I'd like to comment to Mr. Haltway's comments in reference to the act requiring the science be done. It was done by the forestry. They chose, the Highlands Council chose not to use that. I don't know where it got lost. The real fact is the reason they chose not to use it is because the science doesn't meet what you like to see. Even though the science is correct, you feel it's not what you want to hear, so what we do, we discard it. I think it's time it's brought back. You've been served it. How come we're not looking at it and using it? It was done for free. Here we're going to spend $108,000, and then I'm not sure about this last argument there, or comment on the bottom, provided that the executive director may authorize additional amounts pursuant to his authority under the Highlands Council. Does that mean that the not to exceed 108 can exceed that? Is that what that replies to?
It means that if there are extras that are added on in the course of the study, that there's an authority for, within my limit of approval, to increase it for specific items that are...
To over 108,000?
Yes.
So it can be more. So not to exceed means nothing in this paper. Kind of like the forestry report, I guess, you discard it. I think these them people apparently know what they were doing because that's who the Highlands originally used. Unfortunately, it didn't come down their way when the science was really found out, and they used actual data, unlike what a lot is being done here in this room. I would hope you would use this report and not authorize the approval of this hiring of this group. I think there needs to be more time looked at the science you already have. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, sir.
I just heard his testimony that this report was not lost. It was not under the table. It was reviewed by our director and staff, and they made a recommendation to this council with this resolution. So all of those claims about this particular study being lost under the table and so on is not true.
Try to find it on
thank you.
Website.
Thank you, Mr. Vizzioli. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am. Please use the microphone. You record, please.
No problem. Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. As I understand it, this is not just about forestry science. The RFP asks for mitigation planning and a whole slew of things. It is not just about basic forestry science. I understand that there were two responses to the RFP, which was a very complex RFP. I think one of the reasons there were only two responses is because it was such a complex RFP. And very few organizations have the kind of technical expertise that was expected in the RFP. So I certainly know of Princeton Hydro, who are one of the most respected firms in the state and in the Northeast. I think we would be lucky to have them, and given the amount of work they're being expected to do, it seems to me a very reasonable price. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Dave Pfeiffer, Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. The association supports the intent, supports the selection of the contractor, and urges you to vote yes. We have looked into this business of the forestry report, and I think whatever that forestry report says, and it is available online through the Gracie and Harrigan website, Consulting Foresters, it's not applicable to the questions you're asking now in the implementation of the RMP. Just some background history on that report. I was a member of two of the TAC groups and was present at the time that report was prepared. I was not a member of that particular TAC group. The report was submitted to the council staff. Council staff then evaluated all the submissions and produced an ecosystem technical report, and a draft RMP. The preparers of the Sustainable Forestry Report then submitted comments on the draft RMP. The ecosystem technical report specifically acknowledges the contribution made by that Sustainable Forestry Report. The RMP was then revised and put out for public comment again. There was a second round of commenting, which the foresters availed themselves of, and there were two comment and response documents, which are still posted on your website. So to say the report was hidden, was disposed of, was somehow improperly handled, I think is belied by the facts. It's just there. So I think you're asking different questions now. I think it's highly appropriate to use Princeton Hydro for this purpose, and I think that the price is pretty reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any further comments from council members?
What is the need for this study? What problems is this going to solve? Are there problems that are frequently occurring that we need another study? I'm looking at this continuing studies. We'll be spending $108,000 every couple of months on studies when everything seems to be going well as it is. I mean, everything's pretty well regulated. Are you having problems where you're not getting convictions, or what is the need for this?
There are no problems. This is filling a gap and a placeholder that we recognize we need technical expertise to do. And we've been working towards getting this RFP together and putting it in place. The land use ordinance right now, when you go to the sections on forestry and have critical habitat, has a recognized placeholder that we are awaiting the technical guidance to specify the standards for these sections. So this has been planned and has been recognized by the RMP as we need to get this technical expertise to do this work. And the time has come that we put the RFP together, have vetted it through the process, and are ready to award a contract. But there isn't any problem. It's just filling the need that we identified as missing.
Will they be working with the forestry community, expert foresters with the State Forest Service? And we have a lot of regulation and a lot of information online. It just gets deeper and deeper with forestry studies. Best management practice with the Smith bill that they're working on now. Will that all be included in this? Or is this going to be a duplication of what we already have?
It's not a duplication of what we have. It's moving forward what we have and the current conditions in the RMP to the next step for standards and details so that individuals can understand what it means to comply with and implement an ordinance in accordance with the regional master plan. That's our challenge.
The Hydro, Princeton Hydro Group, do they have certified foresters as part of their team?
Their team includes FAR Forestry Service, which is a certified forester.
I'm sorry, who?
FAR Forestry Service.
So they have a subcontract?
They have a team, yes.
Okay, and then the other question I have is, forestry management is exempt from the Highlands Act. So help me understand, other council members understand, why we need to explain what's exempt.
This is part of the land use ordinance. The land use ordinance occurs when a development activity has occurred. So this is when development activity encroaches upon forest as part of its development activity. If you are operating under a woodlot management plan or a forest stewardship plan, you are correct. You're excluded from the act and you will continue to do that work. So this is for the ordinance and the standards for when a development encroaches upon impede upon a forest or critical habitat. It will also help us to understand in general how we can better do stewardship for those lands that are already in privately held forest plans and also community held forest plans. So it should be twofold, but the ordinance is for development activity. It doesn't, as you were right, indicate anything for those private landowners who are working under a woodlot or forest management plan.
So the trigger is major highlands development?
Pretty much.
Yes, sir.
In layman's terms, what does this bring to the table? What advantage does this bring to the table if there are forests involved that are not being managed under a forest management plan? They're not cutting timber, they're not under any official state program for foresting, but it's a large 500 acre, for the sake of argument, forest. What does this bring to the table that's not already there?
It will bring to the table how you might do better stewardship for those forests, how you might better manage those, what plants and activities should occur that would help to support that forest. Those guidelines will be available on our website for all individuals, whether they're Highland stakeholders or participating in or not. And it will also help us to identify mitigation ratios and mitigation specifics for such projects, large projects that come through, and we have to come up with a way to mitigate for the large project. This will help us to identify the mitigation levels and criteria that we can use consistently across the region.
Doesn't the redirect inventory cover some of that?
We know where they're at. We don't know how to make them better or mitigate for them if they've been impacted.
So then, if there is a, say for the, again, I'm really trying to get my head wrapped around why we need to do this. Versus what's already available out there and whose responsibility is it. If we're taking responsibility to do this, you have 500 acres and you have a natural area preserve or you have something that's a community owned or municipal owned. What difference does this vendor, what does this bring to the table for them that's not already there? So basically, if we implement this, we don't have to do a forest management plan. This vendor is going to, this process that we're about to do would outline everything and all someone would have to do would be implemented. Is that what it?
Yes, it's setting the stage. Right now we have habitat conservation management plans that and forest management plans that are part of plan conformance. And they are for upland forests and critical habitat in the Highlands region. And for the most part, a lot of details and mitigation doesn't exist for upland forests, those unique forests in the Highlands region. And this will help create the recipe for how you're going to do that and allow for consistent
Application. Yeah, so if you have a forest in trouble, which most of them are, it's because they're not being managed, they're municipally owned, they're privately owned, they're just there. And you want to implement the plan and you have to clear cut 5 acre checkerboard and it's in the preservation area. Would this help that?
No.
If you're working under a woodlot and forest management plan that's approved by a state forester already, you should be working under that plan.
No, you don't have that involved.
This will help you if you're starting out and you're wondering what should I do, how do I do it, or a community takes it on, what should I do, how should I do it? Yes, it'll help.
All the way to the point of implementing a plan that the Highland Council is going to have because we have defenders. We go ahead and do this. If someone comes to staff and says, I got a 300 acre mountain and it is in rough shape. What do I do? We can help them do that?
Yes. This will be part of that.
Any other council comments?
Just quickly. You've got a track that you wish to exercise, build a home. So triggers major Highlands development, but you have an existing forestry stewardship plan in place prepared by state licensed forestry. So even though major Highlands development is triggered, would the forest area be exempt because it's already under a forestry management plan?
It's my understanding that if you're going to take down that forest to build a house, that's going to be outside of your woodlot and forest management plan. So that's going to be a forest that's now part of a development activity, not part of your forest. It has changed its purpose, and it's now become part of a development activity.
But if you have a little field where you're building a house and the forest doesn't get impacted, these hairs are going to be split someday.
Well, the ordinance right now has done that. The land use ordinance that exists that was put forward by the council in accordance with the RMP specifies when a development activity occurs, what is, the resources are there. Right now there's a placeholder. It specifies forest mitigation plans and indicates there's a placeholder for details that will be forthcoming as to what that will be. So we've already established that threshold and established the ordinance for development regulations. This is just to inform what we've already established.
So somebody has a 100-acre parcel building a single home triggers major Highlands development. You're doing it in a 2-acre area, but because that tract has woodlands on it that are under forestry management plan, that entire tract then is considered, that entire tract is considered as part of major Highlands development?
No, the major Highlands development is the development activity area, the envelope for in which the development will happen, not the whole tract.
So you put the little dotted line around it with your
you may
soil
have
erosion control fabric and everything else remains untouched. So only if you're impacting a piece of forest with construction activities would then this trigger the need for the recommendations that we're hiring this firm to develop.
Which may be true under a land use ordinance right now. We're just setting the Highland standards for it.
And the guidance would be don't cut down trees unless you really have to cut down the trees because there might be a bat living in one of the trees.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to rationalize what it's gonna say.
Well, the ordinance right now sets the stage for that. So looking at the Highlands Land Use Ordinance in the forest section and in the habitat conservation section, you would see what it says. This is to inform the specifics regarding what it already is telling us. It's a placeholder right now. Right now we've had a placeholder that says we need more technical details to do this part, and we want to make sure that those technical details are done by experts in accordance with the ordinance. And that's where we're at right now. We've also approved plans for habitat conservation management as part of the RMP, and for forest and land preservation and stewardship. We need the details and technical expertise to assist staff in order to do those as part of our RMP and our plan conformance process.
Yeah, listening to all the arguments for and against, again, I think this is a good idea. I think we should go forward with it. I think even $108,000. It's a lot of money, but I think it's money well spent and it's good value. So,
yes, sir. Is this going to be long term? Is there a time on this when we are technically correct with ourselves? Is this going to be ongoing, or will they come in and help us with all the technical information and then they can go away?
Until the next one.
Well, no, I mean, when you do the ordinance and when you figure out what you have to do with your forest, I mean, what do we need them for after that?
We'll be issuing a contract with a time period that we anticipate getting us to the results that we need.
Yeah, but it's a result oriented, it's not just ongoing.
No. Okay. It has a contract time frame.
Right, okay.
It's to get us specifics and details to move us to next steps so that it can be implemented and understandable by the public.
Okay. And we specify 18 months on that.
Something like that.
If anybody comes in with a plan, is going to have to hire some sort of expert to demonstrate that they are in compliance with some sort of standard, right? I'm going to have major Highlands development and it has woodlands on it. Presumably, I'm going to hire somebody, a forester, to demonstrate that we're doing things properly on it, or that the impacts of the major Highlands develop are going to be mitigated in a certain means. So is our goal here to develop a yardstick to measure their proposal by? Because we're not going to go out and inspect every one of these sites. So someone's going to prepare a plan. So really, we're just talking about plan review.
We're talking about the details so that everyone consistently understands what is meant when you are working in the ordinance regarding a forest mitigation plan as a result of a development activity, so that it can be consistently applied and understood, and that the applicant knows the details of the ordinance.
Just plain language.
It's going to provide clarity and details that can be applied consistently across development activities.
Just to clarify, this ordinance is adopted by the municipalities, and it's the municipalities' ordinance. And this is so that the people in the municipality can understand what our standards are, clearly, unequivocally, statewide.
Yes.
This is not for our use. This is not for our day-to-day use. I mean, there's a lot of information and science that will come to us as a result of this. But this is to allow the municipalities to adopt the model ordinance and be able to enforce it in a consistent and fair manner. That's really what we're doing.
right, Jeff?
Correct.
Okay, so I get the technical part of it. What do we do now if this situation comes up, if the meat in that part of the ordinance isn't there to guide? So what are we doing now what somebody do now that has that issue they have to deal with? If they go to that part of the ordinance and it's not from there, it's a guide.
The Highlands Council staff reviews that. And in fact, we have some work that has gotten us up to, this council awarded a contract to BioHabitats. I believe it was 2010. That contract established mitigation ratios that we use when it comes to an action. We actually used them when we looked at the Tennessee gas mitigation. And so we've been using the mitigation ratios. But as far as next steps for the land use ordinance, right now only one land use ordinance has been adopted. It's been adopted by Highbridge. And there's a placeholder there, and they really don't have a lot of forest in Highbridge. But right now it would be staff determination and review of the forest implications. And we would use the information we have on mitigation right now. But we need more details and standards in order to put it in an ordinance that a municipal official could implement.
Y'all get that? Back to the question I had before. The result of this report. This report will be used to put out a model ordinance for the municipalities and could include additional regulation, additional restrictions of this. So we could be adding regulation. It's going to change the ordinance that we're recommending.
It's not changing the regulation.
I think this body would have to change it.
We would have to change it, but that's what this report is being done. Correct. And is headed in that direction.
The regulation already exists. It's the details for how you implement it.
Any other comments? Well, my concern would be on where it went, the parameters. I think we have an opportunity after the report's done to address that. No further comments? I'll take a roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
No.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Chair of the press.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Madison. We'll see you again shortly.
Keep the seat warm.
Next item up is Checklist Ordinance Committee. This is a consideration of resolution, approval of the minutes of the Checklist Ordinance Committee. I guess we'll take the report first. Mr. Richko has agreed to give that report.
Okay, the Checklist Committee met on August 15th. Those present were Chairman Riley, Council Members Dressler, Kiefang, Bowden, and me. Staff members were Gene File, Margaret Nordstrom, Andy Davis, Kimball Kaiser, Chris Danis, Judy Thornton, and Annette Taguarini. It was an informative and productive meeting. I would especially like to thank Andy Davis, Chris Danis, and Judy Thornton for the information and explanations that they provided to the committee. The committee discussed the criteria used to evaluate where the checklist ordinance approach would be appropriate. Only towns with very limited development potential would be considered. The council staff identified 9 municipalities currently in the plan conformance process that they would have recommended for the checklist process. The committee discussed the municipalities and looked at the criteria used to evaluate why the checklist ordinance approach would be appropriate for each town. Since there was no dissension by any of the committee members, I hope I can speak for the entire committee to report that the committee was in favor of the staff's recommendations and would meet in the future when the staff had more recommendations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Having heard the report, can I get a motion on the resolution, please?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any council comments before opening to the public?
Just a question.
Yes.
So we are approving the minutes of the meeting. What are we approving here?
Minutes.
Yes, the council member, the resolution says the council accepts and approves the minutes of the checklist ordinance committee, which has been distributed, and the recommendations contained therein, which member Richco just discussed what was happening. So it's accepting the minutes.
Accepting the minutes and authorizing us to move the staff to move forward with the checklist on these municipalities.
Okay, well, I have comments, but I thought you wanted to go to the public
first. Oh, you said the public first. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this issue, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It's a little confusing for the public since we haven't had an opportunity to see the minutes so we're all we can see is the resolution. But it was helpful to listen to Councilman Richco. And I'm wondering, you said that the committee will meet in the future when staff had more recommendations.
Or have any recommendations.
Does that mean that you will continue to review staff recommendations for other towns that should be continued?
Ms. Summers, the committee was put together to advise this council whenever the checklist ordinance, checklist criteria stepped up at a staff review. So, yes.
So when towns are being considered by staff?
Whenever the staff would have before and will continue to recommend checklists, it would be set aside to go to the checklist committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to be heard on this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Hi there, I'm Kate Muscolino from Porzio, Bromberg, and I'm here on behalf of the Builders Association. My question is just, are the recommendations related to the 9 municipalities that say recommending that the checklist ordinance be used for each of them?
Correct.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
George Casa, Alliance for Historic Hamlets. I would like to know if the minutes that will be approved will be posted so that when the dust settles, we'll know what the ordinance contains. Thank you.
Any other members of the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. And Ms. Carluccio.
Yes. I'm against this process because I don't think that it's fair that the public and really the council members fully understand what the process is going to be for this, exactly what the ordinance is going to contain, and then also by this vote, apparently, we are approving in a rash of 9 of them that the checklist approach be used for all of these boroughs and municipalities without a public review. I mean, we have thrown out the public's ability to understand that the Township of Chester, Bloomsbury Borough, Califon Borough, Glen Gardner Borough, Lebanon Borough, Ringwood Borough, West Milford Township, Bedminster Township, Alamoochee Township, and then also the addition of Liberty Township will all of a sudden be relieved of adopting a land use ordinance and instead will use what I still have to call the Highlands Light version of the checklist. And I think that we don't fully understand what the differences are between the land use ordinance and the checklist.
I wish you'd stop using the word we. If you don't understand it, that's fine. Stop using the word we.
Okay. I think that from the discussion at the last 2 meetings about the checklist, it's clear that there's a lot of gray areas about what this checklist actually means when it comes to protecting the resources of the Highlands. And the land use ordinance, I know it's long and I know it's cumbersome, but it is the heart of the regional master plan. And we put all of the important, essential elements of the regional master plan into the land use ordinance. The checklist approach shrifts that.
It does not, Ms. Carluccio. I wish you'd stop making statements that are not factual or accurate.
Well, that's my opinion.
It's your opinion, but it's not accurate.
And it was always meant to be used for municipalities that had a very limited ability to develop. And we're talking about, and the public does not have the ability to see this, 213 acres, 84 acres, 36 acres, 22 acres, 266 acres, 348 acres, 217 acres, 251 acres, where in the past, until the last one that we did, they had all been maybe 5 acres or 13 acres, and they had only been used in a very limited number of municipalities. So I'm concerned about that. The other thing I'm concerned about is the lack of the public's ability to take part in the review of the checklist ordinance application. And I'd like to know how, with the land use ordinance, there would be a hearing at the local level, and they would be able then to be aware of how it was being applied. What type of public process is attached to the checklist ordinance, and when will that take place?
Well, I might be misunderstanding here. When these municipalities come before here for plan conformance, that, just like any other recommendation, will be out on display.
No, I mean at the municipal level. There's a hearing attached to a land use ordinance activity at the municipal level. What activity will happen at the municipal level in terms of public review with the checklist ordinance?
I'm trying to not get into the whole debate again. As you know, every municipality right now is in checklist. There is no land development ordinances that have been passed, to the best of my knowledge, unless somebody has. So every municipality that has plan conformance is in checklist.
They did the checklist, but there are towns that have land use ordinances as well.
That
are part of the plan. Part of their adopted plan and conformance process is. Can we hear from our executive director?
The ordinance is really, in fact, no different than the land use ordinance, because it would be adopted by ordinance in that local municipality. The local municipality would have a public hearing, adopt the ordinance, and resolve to accept the checklist ordinance as recommended. And then it would come through here for applicability.
Will there be a municipal hearing?
Yes, in the municipality. Just like there is now, because every municipality, the next step after plan conformance is checklist.
Right, I realize that.
And that would take an action of the governing body with public input. And once the public can ask their questions, but if you have acreage there, really the acreage is deceptive because it's the number of lots, the number of homeable lots that are available. And some of those 200 to 300 acre parcels you're talking about, maybe would support 2,000 or 3,000 just based on our analysis. So we know what the build out is, and that would be all part of the process for the municipal body to adopt the ordinance.
Mr. Fogg, can I ask you, isn't it true that the development potential, the build out could change based on changes that are adopted at the municipal level and perhaps at the council level going forward with the acreage that's left? Like, for instance, with the Roxbury, there was some unknown factors.
There is nothing that we can do or that anyone can do to bind the hands of someone in the future. Preservation area is certainly well protected, but there's nothing that we as a governing body can do to in perpetuity unless we own it.
And also, I'm trying to remember what document it is. Maybe Steph can help me with this one. This council has the ability at any time to rescind the decision to allow a town to stop the checklist. And also, just as a point of information, the very first town that was approved to hold a checklist was Green Township. And the acreage involved was 260 acres, but it made perfect sense to hold there because it was like it's all state-owned land. I mean, there was no potential for development at all. So it wasn't the amount of acreage that came into play, it was the number of opportunities for development.
Well, of course, there's a quality assessment there, but there's no quality assessment with these pieces of properties here for the council or the public to go through and understand, are these state-owned properties? Are they subject to change down the road? We don't know that kind of information because we have done with one big brush all of these municipalities that we normally spend a whole meeting on every one of them.
Mr. Richfield?
Yeah, we met for an hour and a half and had these kinds of discussions. And Tracy, you know that I would not be in favor of anything that would hurt the regional master plan, change the rules and regulations of it. I think this is, it makes sense because you've got these parcels, and I'll use my town, West Milford Township, which has one parcel of 348 acres. That sounds like a lot of land, way less than 1% of the town. And this parcel has steep slopes, wetlands, and the most that anyone who owned this could put would be three units or three homes on it. And, you know, for a town like West Milford and these other towns, Ringwood, Lebanon, and so on, it just simply makes sense that they can use a checklist and not have to go through the process. I think it helps the Highlands Act because, you know, towns can deal with the Highlands in a way that makes it easier for them and maybe less costly. I would, as I said before, wouldn't be in favor of anything that would change it. I don't think that this does change anything.
Can we go back to the first? Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. Can we go back to the process again? What is exactly going to be the process then? If there are other towns that come forward that, I guess it's initiated by the staff. The staff
during staff review, if it's okay. Identified as a checklist item, it will be sent over to the checklist committee to sign off on that, and that recommendation would come to here. There would still be a full presentation of the of plan performance, for the petition for plan performance. That, we're not eliminating that.
Right.
It's no different than any other time.
And why does it say in the executive director's, perhaps I saw it in the one of the resolutions coming up having to do with continuing the executive director's duties as in terms of, you know, as opposed to the council for reviewing plan conformance and other duties. It says something, maybe it was in there or maybe in his report, that there is going to be a checklist review component by the executive director. Can you explain that? And what is that? What is that function?
That was put in, that's the executive director's prerogative that you would give the renewal every 6 months to do a plan performance of the somewhat boilerplate things that we go through to get the plan for. And that is added there as part of the process.
And what is it that you would be doing with the checklist?
The checklist would be recommended to the checklist committee. The checklist committee recommended to the council, may not recommend it to the council. But that will be your opportunity to voice your opinion on a one-on-one basis as to who should not be approved by the council for the checklist option.
So how does that fit into the process? It goes from the staff to you and the executive director to the checklist committee?
The checklist committee. The checklist committee will bring it out at the chair's request as we are tonight, and then you would have your option to perhaps dispute that opportunity should be and the checklist option.
And at what point does the public get involved in that? When, because right now there was no discussion. And because the checklist committee was shielded from the public and the public was not allowed to attend that meeting, they really don't know anything about these the guts of what we're voting on. All they know is the resolution. So when is in that process we just defined, does the public fit in? And can we have that written out and made very clear so everyone knows when they can get involved and find out what's going on and
get involved at the time that they petition this council and come before us, just like every other recommendation that comes from staff in that report. We can bring it up and raise that issue.
I'm just saying, when does the public learn what's in this that the checklist committee will be looking at? Will the public know that the checklist committee is going to be looking at, say, another 12 municipalities for consideration of the checklist approach? And will they see what those are? And when will they be able to review that?
At the point of time, it's recommended to the council.
So they will not see it until there. Well, I just simply can't support that because the public is they're not. We're not having a presentation going over the details of these municipalities. There's no discussion in detail. It's just a broad brush. Let's throw them all into a pot and approve them. And I think that really cuts out the ability of the public to know what's going on here.
Noted. Mr. Moses.
We're not approving these municipalities for
checklist
ordinance. We're not approving the municipalities. We're approving the process. That's what we're doing tonight.
Could we get a clarification on
each,
that?
Each one of these municipalities that we looked at the meeting, all the municipalities that we're going to consider in the future were looked at. This group was pulled because of the small amount of land that would be affected. And we went through each, and the public has the opportunity with our great website with the mapping and everything. We have the regulations. You look at the maps. You can tell what is available in those municipalities, and most of these properties, like Paul said, are severely constricted by environmental constraints.
Well,
and most of them, I don't think, would get approved what we think at first sight would. He said three homes, maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not. And most properties were in that category, and the public has the opportunity to go on a website, pull up the mapping, and can see exactly what's there. But we are not approving these municipalities. We're approving the process to bring them forward.
I would like clarification on that, because my understanding
that's
is that we
says.
Are approving these to use the checklist ordinance.
I would believe that the intent is that the checklist committee has reviewed those recommendations by the staff and is putting it before the council tonight for a vote to adopt that process for those municipalities. If you wish to vote on them one by one or vote on them as a group, I would consider that vote of the council to be direction to the staff to approve them for the checklist.
To be included in the recommendations of what is eventually submitted to the council.
That's correct.
So it's not, while it's authorizing staff to include that recommendation, it's still, like every other recommendation from staff, has to come before us during plan conformance. You're talking about reviewing every recommendation of staff in advance.
No,
you
sir, that's not what I'm doing. I'm sorry to belabor this, but I think it's really important because Mr. Bowden just said that we are not approving the checklist ordinance for these municipalities. We are approving the use of the checklist ordinance for these municipalities by this vote. Are we not?
The fourth paragraph from the end of the minutes spells it out, I believe.
What we're approving is the process, from what I understand.
We're approving the process.
When they come before us for plan conformance, we're authorizing them. We are taking a vote to authorize this and for staff to utilize this in their recommendations. So, yes, we are, it's all the wordplay. Yes, we're authorizing them to use plan conformance in their recommendation. That's the key here. Because when they come before us for plan conformance, which they have to do, everything in plan conformance comes into question.
Of course, at the end of
every item comes into question, including plan conformance.
Including the
checklist.
So the way that we have done this in the past, and I know you don't want to talk about the past, but every time that these various municipalities were coming forward and were going to use the checklist ordinance because of the limited potential for development in their municipality, it came to the council first. Now, you felt, the council felt that it was too cumbersome to do that because you wanted to use, the council and the staff saw that there, and Mr. File expressed this in his executive director's report, that they wanted to use the checklist ordinance a lot more than it had been used in the past. And in order to do that, we needed some sort of process. So you set up a checklist committee, and the checklist committee met, and now they're reporting out, and they're saying they want the checklist ordinance to be used for these, rather than having it come as it used to for discussion to the board and the public.
I'd like to get clarification on that, because I don't know that that's accurate. And there's, to the best of my knowledge, every time checklist came up previous to my reign here, it didn't come up as a separate issue prior to plan conformance. It came up during the plan conformance process. There was no special set aside.
We discussed whether it was a separate meeting or not. The checklist ordinance could be used, and it had only been used in three, maybe four times.
You had identified that it was discussed in advance. That is not accurate.
I actually don't remember whether it was a meeting before or a work session. We used to have work sessions once a month as well as meetings. But we went into those details before it was decided that a checklist could be used.
The minutes reflect that. Mr. Richfield,
the key point in this will only be used in towns with very limited development potential. And I think, again, as I said before, it makes sense. Other towns that have a lot more ability to develop, we would never think about using the checklist.
It's a pig and a poke, I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Thank you. Haven't heard that.
That's what it is.
Just to follow up on what Carl just said, that it's to be used, I use a different word, sparingly, but there's no guidelines that says that we can use it sparingly. There's nothing that says what the ceiling is.
There's no way to number.
There's no actual. We use something from the. From what the staff used about technical guidelines in a land use ordinance that gives them the guidance to move forward on an ordinance. It's the same as, in my opinion, that if you're going to have a check, which all boards, zoning boards, planning boards, they come in, they ask for environmental waivers. You know, there's a process. The public is always part of that process that they hear why they're asking for the checklist waiver.
Which will still continue.
Yeah, at the very end.
At the end.
Yeah. No, they're the process. That's how it's always been done. And there's a great check.
Okay, well, let's go back to the one thing that sticks in my craw is that there's no standard. There's no,
yes, there is.
What's the standard for acreage? 1,000 to 4,000?
Because there's criteria. There's four criteria. I think maybe Chris presented this to us very well, and I think if she goes through...
I knew you'd be back up here, Mr. Dennis. Well, I think that's probably the right way to go, is have the staff explain it, and then we'll give it a better
idea. Quite frankly,
idea.
I felt it should be a staff recommendation without the committee, because it's always been that way, just like there are many... We don't have subcommittees for every aspect of staff recommendations, but this accommodation was to...
Stream
to give it a filter, and at the time of plan conformance, a majority of this board can change that at any time, just like any other aspect.
But Chairman, this is actually a tool to help streamline for staff, to so they don't get bogged down with.
Correct.
Okay. So let's hear from staff.
This guy.
The criteria.
I just want to set the stage. The checklist ordinance approach is part of a development application. The land use ordinance is always reviewed for all development applications, whether they come through the checklist approach or whether they come through the interim checklist, the checklist that is in place until a town has adopted a full land use ordinance. The checklist ordinance approach is a development application. The full land use ordinance is always used as the criteria for review. It's just a matter of who reviews it. The table that was established in support of the checklist subcommittee looked at, because we're talking about development applications. When a land use ordinance is put in place under the municipal land use law, it's because a development has come in front of a board that meets a threshold for a level of review. The threshold for the level of review is the criteria that we're using, because the checklist is about a development application. Regardless of acreage, it says that if it is three or more residential units that will result as part of a development regulation, it shall be subject to the checklist ordinance and subject to the land use ordinance. If it disturbs as a non-residential development 1 acre or more of land, it shall be subject to the checklist ordinance and it shall be subject to the land use ordinance. If it is a non-residential or commercial development that creates a cumulative increase of 1/4 acre of impervious surface, it shall be subject to the checklist ordinance and the land use ordinance. If it is a specified use that changes a use, such as to a sway site or change in use under the existing zoning, it shall be subject to the land use ordinance and the checklist ordinance. So the criteria that is established for any development regulation in the land use ordinance is the same criteria that is the trigger in the checklist ordinance. And so the criteria have now been used. And any time an application, we review every parcel in a municipality to determine what is currently available as a potential development parcel or an oversized lot, to see what the number of parcels and the nature and extent of the zoning and the existing conditions for those parcels, to see do they trigger three or more residential units. Are they commercial property that could be developed and create an acre or more disturbance? Could they result in a cumulative increase of 1/4 acre or more? it's very hard for us to know if they'd be subject to an ordinance change, a zoning change. But any, in accordance with the plan conformance resolution that the towns are awarded as part of plan conformance, any development regulation in the master plan or land use ordinance that changes must be subject to the Highlands Council review prior to changing an ordinance, regardless of a development regulation is subject to that review or not. So, if a master plan or ordinance changes and there's no development, we still look at it. If a development regulation comes in and it's three or more residential units or non-residential of 1 acre or a quarter acre of impervious or a change in use, we look at it. The same land use ordinance applies over here. It's just a matter of who looks at it. So this process follows the same process under the municipal land use law that a development application would follow in front of any board. It would be subject to a public hearing, two readings, and a process. We are also copied on every action of that board and given a 15-day call-up period. And in fact, if you decide to be a checklist ordinance or community and stay at the approach level, based on a staff recommendation, we put two other stops in there. That means that we see it within a 15-day call-up period as the application moves through the board. And post-approval, we need as-built sent to us. We see everything that moves forward. It doesn't matter whether it goes checklist approach or land use approach. The process is the same.
Thank you.
Question.
Thank you.
Perhaps. That's excellent explanation. Thank you. In terms of the criteria, what we had discussed last time, and I think what we're getting at in terms of the question here is, then what is the quality analysis that's done of this land in order to find out whether or not the checklist ordinance for the land use ordinance?
Quality from what perspective?
From, for instance, we had talked about it not necessarily being a cutoff of the number of acres, because that was a little misleading. It might be 200 acres and it's all part of a state park or publicly owned. So the number might not be right, but it might have, for instance, plant species that are endangered. It might be critical habitat for endangered or threatened species of New Jersey. It might have wetlands. And those types of analyses.
I'm just asking what kind of analysis
is done in terms of that, in terms of, you know, what the impacts would be on the water resources of the islands if it went through the checklist ordinance and the land use.
The resources would be subject to evaluation under the RMP and perhaps the Highlands Preservation Area rules, the 738 rules. The review of the resources and the level of protectiveness of the resources does not change under checklist approach.
And
the land use ordinance does change. So if, for the most part, the resource level means that would be looked at regardless. If the resources existed on a property that got built as a single family home and was exempt from the Highlands Act, it wouldn't matter because we wouldn't be looking at it for the RMP and it wouldn't be subject to the 738 rules.
Right.
So the threshold for the checklist approach and the threshold for Highlands review is what the criteria is. And it would always be subject to that review. Anything that's subject to a Highlands review, regardless of the nature and extent of the resources, is subject to the full ordinance. The only thing that we would not see are those things that we would not be looking at all because they are exempt or not subject.
I hear you. I'm sorry. And I did not make my question clear. What is the criteria that's used whether or not it's going to go through the checklist ordinance or the land use ordinance? What's the sifter? What's the filter? If we're not using numbers of acres, what type of review does that makes that decision then?
It's the table that was put into the checklist committee, those four things that I just said. Because what the checklist does is determines whether or not it is subject to the land use ordinance. So it's a development regulation review. It would be the minimal number of applications that would come. For the most part, the applications that are there are 0, 1, 2, or 3.
I think the question's been answered. Do you have another question?
Yes. In terms of the public process, then, just so I'm very clear, when a municipality is going to be considered for the use of the checklist ordinance approach, when will the public find that out?
We covered that 5
no,
times
when?
Ago.
Yeah, no, but when? Yeah, okay. When?
Just this moment, just like now. This
oh,
is when it will
not,
happen.
Then
it won't be. It won't
there
be,
will
be
no public
because,
process associated with
because
the checklist.
It's not. It's a recommendation from a committee to what will eventually be presented to us.
Okay, so there is. I just want to make
period.
It absolutely clear. There's no way for the public to know.
Yes,
until
there
it comes
is.
Here.
Just like any other recommendation from staff.
That the checklist
ordinance
approach.
Let's move on. Anybody else have any other questions? See a non-roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carruccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yeah.
Councilmember Holdaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevesic.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Ryder.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Dennis, again. Will we see you again? I think so.
I don't think so. Yes, you will.
Yes, we will.
Yes,
we
will.
Next item up is the Personnel Committee consideration of resolution appointment of a part-time resource management specialist. This is a voting matter. Can I get a nomination?
I move the
motion on this, please. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Alston, I believe you're going to report out on this.
Yes, we'll see if we can move this issue a little bit faster than the last two, which have taken an hour and 15 minutes. The Personnel Committee met via conference call on the 12th of September, participating with Chairman Riley, Robert Walton, myself, Executive Director Gene File, Associate Director, Deputy Executive Director Margaret Nordstrom, and a representative from the Governor's Office. We currently have two vacancies that we are seeking to fill. We have a recommendation today for one of those vacancies. The vacancy that continues to be considered, or applicants continue to be considered for, is that of a GIS specialist cartographer, and we are accepting applications for that position. We do, however, and the resolution reflects this, wish to offer employment to a part-time staff member, Gene McCulligan. His resume is attached to the resolution. He would be hired as a part-time natural resource specialist. He has a very strong background in natural resources, and he would be working a maximum of 20 hours per week at the rate of $35 an hour. That concluded the business taken up by the Personnel Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Alston. Any comments from council members? Seeing none, I'm going to open this to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir. Can you use the microphone back there? That one was. Thank you.
My name is David Shope, $35 an hour for a part-time employee who's at best has a sketchy description of his attributes. It's entirely too much money. I'm against this. You're flinging money around today like there's no tomorrow. I'll talk about the other flinging in the public comment period. But right now, I'm against this. Too much money, too little time, and I don't hear any sterling qualifications.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any further council comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holdaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevesic.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the Executive Director's Report. Mr. Boss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Within the scope of the Executive Director's Report and the authority that you have given the Executive Director as far as planning performance, Glenn Gardner, the adoption of a checklist ordinance, approval letter was sent out, in Bethlehem Township, master plan reexamination was approved, Vernon Township, adoption of a environmental resource inventory and a master plan reexamination, master plan and a checklist ordinance was approved. In TDR credits, we were requested to do an analysis for a property in Rockaway Township. And within planning area exemption review, item number 4 on my report, Mahwa and Holland Township were approved. We have municipal plan approvals and no new ones at this point, but we do have Liberty Township, which is going to conform with the preservation area, and which we identified no potential buildable lots in Liberty Township. Other petitions pending that we hope to have before us soon is Oakland and Wanacue boroughs. As far as the municipal planning form is tracking, the sheet is on the website. If you would like to go there, there's in-depth items there. But implementation continues to be one of our primary functions. Master plan recommendation report in Montville. Highlands master plan element adopted by Wapakong and Montville. And Highlands checklist ordinance was adopted by Wapakong. And a Highlands exemption ordinance adopted by Highbridge Borough and Mohawk Township. The last town meeting last month, the next report is covers 2 months. We had 47 outreach meetings with various agencies, public site visits, municipal and county, and we had 22 constituent calls in August. We had 22 constituent calls in July. 22 constituent calls in June. So it's pretty consistent where our constituent calls are. Same people, right?
Say that fast, five times.
Interestingly, our staff rotates on the phone and handles the call. So one day one person may get none, and the next day someone will get 22. So, that's the luck of the draw. Staff update, I'm pleased to announce that Carl Figueredo was certified by the GIS Certification Institute, a certified GIS professional. The institute provides recognition of a GIS professional's accomplishments in the field of ethics, professional development, and education. And I believe, Chairman, that concludes my report until we come back to talk about a redevelopment program.
Thank you, Mr. File. The next item up for business is a consideration of resolution. Proposed Highlands redevelopment area designation for Mount Olive Township, Morris County. This may be a voting matter with public comment. Can I get a motion on this, please?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any council comments prior to opening to the public, or would you prefer to defer? We'll go to the public. Is there anybody here from Mount Olive? Anything you want to say before we?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't know if Highland staff was going to present it to you. I'd be happy to give an overview if you'd like.
Thank you. Mr. File, I'm going to defer to Mr. File in a minute. I should have had him give the overview. Thank you. Mr. File.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, one of our responsibilities is to look at areas that are in need of redevelopment within the preservation area. This particular application, when you see it, will be probably a textbook example of an area that is in need of redevelopment and fits so comfortably within the Act and within our recommendation to you to approve. It is, as I said, textbook, and it is, I think it's an exciting redevelopment that we are commending to you for your approval. And with that, I would turn it over to staff. Chris Danish, you will see again, yes, Mr. Chairman, and Chris Ross and James Humphries. So.
Welcome. James and Chris Ross are going to present this, but I just wanted to say that we feel that this redevelopment area has been underway in Mount Olive for quite some time. It's an area that clearly is an asset to the community, but is not performing at the level of function and use that it could. And we feel that the ability to use a redevelopment area approach under the Highlands Preservation Area rules and the RMP allows for them to avoid a piecemeal approach, whereas you're different property owners doing different things in this area instead of a concerted effort that could benefit the economics and the resources. It includes lake management evaluations as well as the scenic tiers associated with that. It includes a public visioning process as they go forward in developing this plan. And it is management of the headwaters of the South Branch of the Raritan as part of this analysis. So I'll turn it over to James.
Thank you.
So the Township of Mount Olive submitted an application for a redevelopment area designation and for a master planning grant in an area along Route 46 immediately adjacent to Bud Lake. As Chris said, the purpose of the master planning grant is to avoid the piecemeal approach, and that's why the redevelopment area covers a larger area than we've seen previously. The redevelopment area in this case covers approximately 16 acres with an existing impervious surface area of 12.5 acres or 77.6%. This exceeds the required minimum of 70% impervious surface for the Highlands Redevelopment Area Standard. The project contains older portions of 17 parcels. The area is characterized as an older highway commercial district that contains a variety of older commercial uses, including a bank, a gas station, a 7-Eleven, and a strip center. Also located in the area immediately adjacent to the lake is a marina and a large paved area that used to be the township municipal facility. The area also contains a few vacant residential and commercial properties. The project objectives for the redevelopment area is to assist in the redevelopment of the existing abandoned and vacant buildings in the area, create conditions that will induce reinvestment within this commercial corridor, and manage the future redevelopment in a comprehensive fashion that meets the goals of the township's master plan and of the Highlands Regional Master Plan. The redevelopment area includes the minimum 70% existing impervious within the boundaries delineated in the red. As stated previously, the redevelopment area includes the old municipal site immediately adjacent to the beach and includes a marina, a bank, and a number of older commercial developments along Route 46 corridor, some of which are vacant and abandoned. Most of these older sites do not have any stormwater management systems at all, and most of the stormwater in the area directly enters Bud Lake untreated. There is also no safe pedestrian access across Route 46 to the municipal beach or to the other recreational amenities to the north, and there's large residential areas located immediately to the south. And with that, I will turn it over to Chris Ross to discuss the resources.
Thanks, James. The Highlands Council staff conducted an assessment of Highlands resources within and adjacent to the redevelopment area. This analysis included a review of the Highlands Council GIS data, review of aerial photography, and two site visits by Highlands Council staff. This slide depicts a forested area within the redevelopment area. You can see to the southwest. This is an isolated area, as you can see. It encompasses about a half of an acre or less and is surrounded by developed lands on the north, west, and east. This area is also mapped as critical habitat. So the Highlands Council staff did, as I said, did a site reconnaissance and found that the site is largely choked by invasive species, barberry, grapevine, poison ivy. It's also being used as boat storage facility. So it is the opinion of Highlands Council staff that this is not functioning as forest habitat or critical wildlife habitat. However, potential mitigation opportunities will be evaluated when and if a site plan is submitted for this parcel. This slide shows the Highlands Open Water Buffer area. You can see practically the entire site is within the Highlands Open Water Buffer for Bud Lake and the headwaters of the South Branch. Normally, encroachment into open waters, it's not consistent with the Regional Master Plan. However, in this case, the very nature of the project is designed or intended to improve water quality and improve the area leading into draining into Bud Lake. And in fact, there's an area, it's not really on this map, but the outlet of Bud Lake, just off-site, not on the redevelopment site, is a natural heritage priority site where James will talk in a couple minutes. The council will review with the town ways to maybe restore or protect that piece. Again, the design of this, or the purpose of this, is to enhance, protect, restore Bud Lake, which is an overarching tenet of the Regional Master Plan for all resources to protect, restore, and enhance. This slide shows wellhead protection areas. The redevelopment area lies within all three Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 wellhead protection areas. But again, the project is designed and intended to improve natural resources, especially groundwater. And the Highlands Council will review any
any proposal for redevelopment to ensure that there would be no discharge of pathogens or persistent organic or toxic chemicals. We would prohibit any such uses in the redevelopment area because it's in a wellhead protection area.
As I mentioned earlier, part of this also includes funding for a master plan grant to plan the whole region so it's not developed in a piecemeal manner. So the grant is proposed for the Bud Lake Redevelopment Area Master Plan. The grant will include conducting interagency meetings with a focus on creating pedestrian linkages across Route 46 to residential areas, allowing access to the recreational areas that exist in the township. It'll prepare an amendment to the township's master plan. It'll develop new standards for the area, including design standards for site design and stormwater. It'll prepare resource protection plans, including a stream corridor protection plan and a habitat conservation and management plan. Total of new grant funding proposed is $57,000, with additional funding being used from the existing plan conformance grant council had previously approved. The public comment period, written public comment period, was from August 27th to September 10th. Comments were received from the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and the New Jersey Conservation Foundation. A comment response document was prepared to provide detailed responses to all public comments received, and this was posted to the Highlands Council website on September 30th. The staff recommendation for this redevelopment area designation is to approve it with conditions. Conditions are as follows. New development will be required to adhere to stormwater management regulations and provide for low-impact development as part of the NJDEP HBAA permitting process. This will provide an opportunity to improve stormwater management in this area. Using funding previously approved under the township's plan conformance grant, the township will be required to develop a water use and conservation management plan to mitigate any proposed consumptive or depletive water uses. As part of the planning process, the township will be required to conduct a capacity assessment. Any changes in zoning in the area will be consistent with this capacity assessment. The redevelopment area planning will include the preparation and implementation of a stream corridor protection and restoration plan and critical habitat conservation management plan. $28,000 of existing plan conformance grant funding is recommended to be targeted to the redevelopment area for these purposes. And that summarizes the redevelopment area designation application. Thank you very much.
Anything else on here?
We have nothing else.
Staff, you're here. Council member comments?
Yes, I have comments.
Yes, Ms. Berlich. You want to wait till after the public or?
Yeah, let's let the public go.
At this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Please raise your hand.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. This is the perfect example of what redevelopment should be all about. And it is about as public as you can get because of Route 46 driving right through the middle of it. This is old development that, as was pointed out, had no stormwater management, none of the sort of things that we know today are important next to bodies of water. And I think you should actually be taking this on the road and telling other communities with similar areas that need redevelopment and promoting it, because we should be seeing this in many places in the Highlands. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. I'm sorry, gentlemen, you're from Mount Olive, correct? Right?
Yes, sir.
You are? Please come up to the microphone.
Good evening, members of the council. Chuck McGrory, I'm with Banish Associates. I'm the planning consultant for Mount Olive Township. Actually, I've been their consultant for 24 years, some of that time in-house. Very briefly, first I want to thank your staff and the director and deputy executive director, get the title correct, for all the help and the assistance, particularly James, who's sort of held our hand for a lot of this. Real briefly, as Ms. Summers said, we've been dealing with runoff from the highway into the lake for many years. The Environmental Commission has made that a priority for a long time to see if we can do something to mitigate that. The outlet, actually, for South Branch is right at the tip, at the top left,
and there's a marina there. And it's an old site. It needs improvement. So I think what we have here is a lot of different elements that, if we could do what we're proposing to do, and as was suggested, I think this would be a model for Highlands redevelopment. And some point, at some point in the process, we would love to have DOT involved so we can have safe pedestrian movement across the highway, because of course that creates this barrier there, and ultimately we'd like to connect to the state park system as well. So we're excited about it. We think, you know, I could talk for hours and no one wants to hear that. So I do appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comments? Yes, ma'am. You know, that bridge from
Denver. Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. We support this redevelopment project. And we particularly want to compliment the staff and planning proposal to try to restore the Mud Lake outlet, because this outlet, the stream there, right across it is abuts the Mud Lake Bug Preserve. That preserve actually extends almost all the way around there. It's in a couple of different pieces, and it's actually a total of 252 acres. And part of it is on the northern part of the lake. So it certainly needs to be recognized. I mean, this is, I believe, the largest natural lake in the Highlands. And so the quality of the natural environment needs to be fully considered as this redevelopment planning process and the redevelopment itself goes forward. So, you know, we're all in favor of redeveloping the strip right there along the road, but it needs to be done so that the natural resources, which are not very far away, are not adversely impacted. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Parkon. I'm for this, with the exception of the grant money. I have no problem with the council going along with them and working with this plan. I think it brings economic viability to the town. They have things that are already here, and redevelopment is great. But I don't know why I'm paying for it. You stole my rights. You limited to me what I can do, and I have not been compensated. But yet you continue to spend money like there's no tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council members?
Yes. Yes, I have concerns about this project, and sorry to be the raining on everyone's parade, but
we expect it.
Okay. First of all, you know, just to sort of set the stage, I mean, this is in the preservation area. And, you know, the preservation area, it does contain the most important resources of the Highlands. And it's what, you know, is really the best of the best. And so I think we really have to have a higher bar when we think about redevelopment in the preservation area. And actually, I have voted against, when we were developing the regional master plan, having any redevelopment areas within the preservation area because of that reason. I think that we should be restoring, not developing, those areas in particular. But also, because a redevelopment area allows greater density, because you can go develop 125% redevelopment of the existing developed area, we actually are going to be allowing greater development density in this very sensitive area. So I totally agree. I've been by there. I know what it looks like. And I totally agree that we need to restore the area. I don't believe that the way to restore it is by building denser on the land that's there. And I think, in terms of the excellent analysis that was done, through our usual process here, using the determination review and then the recommendation report, it's made very clear that there are specific areas where this redevelopment plan is inconsistent with the regional master plan. And that's indicated here, and it's specifically the area, because this redevelopment will occur within the 300-foot buffer in the open waters protected area of Bud Lake. So, as far as a poster child, I think the areas that are adjacent to this lake, which is the headwaters of the South Branch of the Raritan, very important water resources for the region as well as the local community. It is absolutely vital that we do not encroach on the 300-foot buffers that we put in place based on science, not based on what we want to see in terms of economic development. I'm all for economic development, but when we're looking at the best of the best in the most vulnerable places with the most important resources at stake, I believe we should not be throwing out and allowing inconsistent activities and giving them a blessing by waving a wand over it to say it's going to be making it better. I totally agree, and I think the staff made it very clear, throughout the report that protect, restore, and enhance is our goal here. And that's what we really are supposed to be doing. But we're not, I don't see, for instance, what are the key water quality parameters in Bud Lake that are going to be improved by this development here. I don't have those numbers. I don't see that data. And I totally support the low-impact development approach and the stormwater approach, but it never replaces the resources of a healthy habitat. So I would support us moving ahead if we were not encroaching on the 300-foot buffer, if we were not impinging further on the very important protection for Bud Lake with this redevelopment project. So I agree we have to restore. I think we're doing it the wrong way. We're not putting more structures there and not the way to restore. Also, I'm very concerned that that we're just dismissing the critical habitat as well as the forest resources because they're degraded. The point is we're supposed to restore natural resources when they're degraded in the highlands in order to be able to get back some of what we've lost in order to keep up the high water quality that we need to protect the water resources that we're in charge of. So I don't think we should throw it aside and say because it's degraded now and it has invasive species that we should build on it. I think or even use low impact development processes in order to try to gently build on it. I think we need to look at that and say, okay, we know that how to do this. We have tools that we can use to restore that degraded woodland, and that would provide additional water quality benefits for sure. I don't know how a low-impact development stormwater with a 125% build-out, greater density, is going to do that. Also, this is a water deficit area. I can't understand why the consistent box was checked and not the inconsistent box about whether or not this is keeping with policy 2I1, and that is to prohibit the expansion or creation of public water supply system, public wastewater collection and treatment systems, and community on-site treatment facilities in the preservation area unless approved through an HAD or an HPAA. And we're going to allow that to happen now because we are expanding the water use. And I would maybe feel not so bad about it if we knew how much we're going to increase the water use. But we don't. It just says TBD, to be determined. Now, I find that really difficult to swallow. We don't have any idea how much water this development is going to take, so we can measure how much this is going to make worse an existing deficit sub-watershed. I find that unacceptable, and I think that analysis should be done. Also, we do know from looking further on in the analysis that the staff did that they were able to say that they thought the wastewater would increase by about 9,000 gallons a day. So I know that's within the existing NPDES permit, so I know, that does not violate the regulations. However, if we know how much wastewater is going to be produced and did that by using a certain matrix, why can't we do that for the water in order to figure out what actually is the water use going to be there and how is it going to impact an already deficit sub-watershed? So I think, as far as, let me just see if I have any other notes here. Oh, the adjacent critical habitat, I think, it's discussed here very well by the staff that this, and when you look at the report as well, and also public comments about how important the adjacent area is at the outlet and how that has been degraded over time, and it's really important to have that functioning. But I don't see, with just the mention of using LID and stormwater regulations, how we're actually going to improve that area. And I know there's supposed to be a plan and come about with how they're going to do that, but I think that the development encroaching closer to that, because you are going to be allowing greater density development in the riparian area, actually jeopardizes that adjacent critical habitat and natural resource area.
You said there's no other items. You said you have one more item. That was it.
I would like to conclude. I believe that this is inconsistent. I believe that we're going against the original master plan by approving this. I think that, especially because we are doing a lot of redevelopment and we're not doing any restoring. And it was restoring and the restoration of our natural resources, it was something that we considered equal in terms of importance when we developed the RMP. And all we're doing is developing and redeveloping so we can allow denser development in our most vulnerable area with this application.
Any other council comments?
I think this project gives credibility to our staff and the Highland project. And if you look at an area like this, and you're in the municipality, and part of the municipality, you can appreciate the value that this has. And as far as any future damage, I think what I see here is future improvement. And so I don't have all the details, and I don't need all the details. I think the professionals, the planners, the people responsible for complying with all the laws and rules are doing an admirable job, and they have to do that by the law. It's not driven. This is not a free-for-all. I think this is an admirable project. And based on, and what are the alternatives? Do nothing or level it out and plant trees? I mean, that's not going to work. And so the best thing to do is carefully and methodically redevelop this like they are. I think it's one of the better projects I've seen that we've been involved in.
Any other council comments? Yes, sir.
Comments by Tracy Krillich are very good and interesting and useful. And I think we should be taking consideration of her comments as we go ahead with this project, which I would recommend that we do. I've passed this lake many, many times, and I've always wondered why this Route 46 is so close to this lake and all this runoff is going into a lake and making it more eutrophic. And it seems to me that looking at the details here, they're going to try to improve the water quality and the runoff and the discharge into the lake. Yes, we need to maintain the riparian lands and protect the forest and the area around the outflow stream, and I think we will do that because it is a very important stream. I fished that river downstream, and it's one of the best in the state. And so, overall, I appreciate what you're saying, but I think it looks like a project that we should be supporting.
Any other comments?
I agree, Mr. Chairman, if I might. I have to congratulate the Township of Mount Olive in recognizing that area as in need of redevelopment. Although many years overdue, I still have to compliment you on it. And I see no negatives here at all. I see positives rather with the water quality, and there was no mention of higher density kinds of things. And I'm confident that whatever goes in that particular area will have to conform with local and state statutes, as well as I'm sure the area the town council had a bite of the apple in deeming it an area in need of redevelopment. I'm sure the planning board and our staff took a look at it as well. And I'm of the opinion that it's all green kind of stuff. And it's a positive impact in this particular area. So I'm going to vote in favor of yes.
Any other comments? I generally agree with most comments. I think staff did a great job. Thank you, as you always do. I, too, believe this is a great idea and a great project to move forward on. Many of the things that Ms. Carluccio was requesting, within reason, would come up during the redevelopment aspect of it, so I'm not concerned about that aspect. So good luck in that all. Great job. Hope all this.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember Richfield?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Chairman Ryder?
Yes. Next item up is consideration of resolution. This is the every six-month authority for plan conformance and Highlands Project Review. This is a voting matter. This is to continue the delegation of authority to the executive director. Can I get a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Does the public have anything they wish to say on this resolution? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Anybody on the council wish to have any comments? Seeing none, roll call.
I'm sorry, I was talking to the council. Who motioned and seconded?
I motioned.
Thank you.
Please give us a second.
Okay, roll call. Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Roden?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. That brings us to the last item, public comment. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on any matter, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the council. My name is Enrique Hernandez. I live in Pohacon Township. I have some information I think would be of interest to the council that I would like to present. There's several players involved, so I'd like to give out a program.
Right now, this is held to 3 minutes. If you have things you want to give to us, please leave it there, and that will distribute it.
Well do.
At future time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On June 19th of 2013, New Jersey Highlands Coalition issued a press release. And that press release included an award not to exceed $5,000 to be given to Equal Action Initiatives of Warren County. So the purposes of suing Pohatcong and suing me as well. Following this award on July 5th, a lawsuit was filed by Equal Action Initiatives. They are represented by Daniel Summers, who is the husband of Julia Summers, who is the executive director of New Jersey Highlands Coalition. This pattern, where small groups receive money from the Highlands Coalition that then in turn hire Daniel Summers to represent them, has repeated itself that I could find two more times. Once, when Phillipsburg Riverview Organization sued Harmony Township, and then again, when Citizens for Better Planning sued Morris Township and Honeywell. On July 19th of 2013, the New Jersey Business Records published who the members of Equal Action Initiative are. The CEO is Laura Altman. Laura Altman sits on the board of New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and this is according to every available tax record to the public.
Mr. Hernandez, I think there may be some confusion. The Highlands Council is not associated, nor will it ever be, with the Highlands Coalition.
I understand that, but if the chairman will allow me just a little bit more, I want to make a connection that I thought was pertinent, and that is that members of the Highlands Coalition have come to the council at Pohatcong have represented that they are explaining what opting into the Highlands Plan means are the same members that are suing the township. And I thought it was rather rich that they presented information saying that if the town opts in, they will be protected from lawsuits. And so I wanted to bring up that to the members of the council. Thank you.
Okay, well, it's on the record now. Thank you for your comments. Any other members of the audience want to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is Hank Plump. I'm a farmer and I own 150 acres in the preservation area. Question for you is what happened to the dual appraisal on the Highlands extension for the Highlands? I haven't heard anything about that. I believe that's in Trenton or the legislature. Somebody's got to do it. Maybe the Highlands Council could follow through on it.
I haven't heard anything about that. I'll follow up on that. To the next year. There's still some time.
But you know how things happen. It's tomorrow, you know?
Or don't
have the details to worry about next
week. Okay, that'd be fantastic. I mean, you guys got to be in favor of this thing because it's really, The other thing that I haven't heard a word from is what's comments on the finding the equity and the money to compensate the farmers and the landowners that are in the preservation or in the Highlands. And I know you started a committee, and have they met? What is the outcome from it? I see nothing, hear nothing. You know, three monkeys, you know. I don't know. You know, has the committee met?
No, not with the credit bank, and the number of people involved in the committee during the summer came very difficult to schedule, but we'll make sure we're back on top of that now. Mr. Walton's not here to speak to it as well.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? In the back?
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. I appreciate the fact council members are volunteers doing their best to manage policies based on complex scientific and technical issues that are, for the most part, outside their professional sphere. This also complicates explaining the very disturbing things uncovered in 3 minutes. My goal here tonight is to make you concerned, not only for the natural resources and critical water supply infrastructure whose protection is in your hands, but also for the reputation of this council and its individual members. I have appended support for the matters I will raise this afternoon. The North Jersey District Water Supply study that gave rise to the Highlands Act and forms the basis of the Highlands rules is fraudulent. Right? There's no doubt about this now that a copy has finally been obtained. Showing the nonsensical four-page study based on a Minnesota reservoir ironically suffering from low nitrate. Emails and open replies from North Jersey District Water Supply Commission, DEP, have additionally confirmed every water supply, water quality, water treatment claim asserted to the public and legislature and repeated in the RMP as fact is in reality at best unsubstantiated. More alarming is the fact state and federal documents have been obtained that appear to show state agencies knowingly advanced false claims, omitted material facts about critical water supply infrastructure. The claim that the preservation area boundaries were drawn from a water supply protection perspective has been revealed as knowingly false. Also appended is evidence of the many essential environmental claims used to justify the Highlands rules, not legislation, an important distinction, have been systematically, methodically, and knowingly misrepresented by state agencies. That these claims are in fact false is no longer in doubt. So there is no misunderstanding. Natural resources and water supply policies were put in place with known and undisclosed negative consequences. Open replies have revealed that DEP and this council's claim that the nitrate pollution model was peer-reviewed is false. Claims that it's routinely used is false. In fact, not a single other state or federal agency can be named using New Jersey's models. The reason they cannot name any other state or federal agency is that Phaeton transport models this council claimed are never used is in fact the national standard. The public was also falsely told that only septic tank nitrate can be calculated with reasonable accuracy, allowing the much larger other sources of nitrate to be hidden and thus paving the way for the septic-only nitrate pollution model. The method this council claims to have followed not only required the input of these non-septic nitrate sources, but directs the user to where these sources are already calculated on a county-by-county basis for the entire United States. In this way, the public, and I imagine council members, were kept from knowing three important nitrate facts. The model doesn't work. The targets were developed by scientific misconduct. And nitrate loadings in the Highlands have fallen by tens of millions of pounds over the recent decades, the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of new residences using septic tanks. I can, in addition to the evidence I will leave for your review, show this council how to simply and quickly validate what I've said to you tonight. I ask this council to use the full powers granted to it by the legislature to investigate these matters that directly impact not only the wise use of our natural resources, but the reputation of this council and ultimately its council members. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Martin.
Anybody else from the public wish to be heard? David and Beth?
Paul Coughlin, Jefferson Township. James, I just want to bring you a copy of some letters I received from the Highlands on your transfer development rights on how it doesn't work. I have a parcel in Jefferson right here, two approved buildable lots by the state of New Jersey, DEP, to build in the preservation area. It is deed restricted my property. Nobody wants it. Can't sell it. You tell me it's worth about $72,000 in transfer development rights. Don't give me a $72,000 check. I keep ownership for 9 years, $8,000 a year in taxes. There's your $72,000 back. Your transfer development rights don't work. Have a copy.
Right.
Read through it.
This isn't something
it's that you said. Yeah, but you know what? This you needed to have it.
That's fine, sir, but...
Have a good night.
This isn't associated...
It doesn't matter, man.
You guys are crooks.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Cho, but first let me complain about the microphone. Over there I got a table, I got a whole pile of paper here, I can spread them out. What am I going to do with them here?
I'm sorry, you were late before I announced why. We've had too many conflicts of the chairs being utilized because of staff and professionals sitting up front here. So we set that up for the public, and like most council meetings throughout the state of New Jersey, that's how it's normally set up. So we did that for convenience. So we'll get everything on tape and recording for our first meeting.
The first council meeting was December 2004, and the microphone's been there since December 2004. Let me continue. Back in July 18, 2013, I asked what the standards of accountability for state employees are. I've yet to receive an answer. I'm speaking specifically about purposely falsifying or purposely omitting important information. I await your answer on that. And now I'm going to speak a little bit about the $108,000 that you just threw away tonight. The forestry report was already done. It was done in 2006, and it was ignored. And it was done pro bono by professional foresters, many of whom are PhDs. You say it was answered. I say show me. I would like to show me where the issues raised in this report are answered in your RMP. I'm asking for that. Now let me get to the request for proposal specifically. The economic service a study has already been done. It's been done by DEP in 2007. Part one, part two, part three. It was done by Lisa Jackson and John Corzine. The good old days. So, and now you're going to pay for it again? And when it comes to 2AB, or 2AB rather, no loss of habitat values. Habitats change. And how are you going to assign a value to a habitat that changes over time? Are you going to make a value judgment that a spotted salamander habitat is worth more than a box turtle habitat? Good luck. And I see where in D, you talk about such things as mandatory, voluntary. You're talking about a private property here. Confine these activities to state parks. The time frame mentioned in this RMP is 12 to 18 months, which puts it well past the time where you're going to be reviewing the Highlands Master Plan in 2014. Why even do it at all when you're going to review the Master Plan in 2014? This is money poorly spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I wanted to learn a little bit more, if I might, about the monitoring for the master plan that is required by the regional master plan. That starts on page 416 of the RMP, or on page 437 of the PDF, where it talks about monitoring and research are vital to understanding the impact and effectiveness of the RMP. It goes on to talk about the RMP monitoring program, and I'm not sure of a monitoring program, but the RMP monitoring program and associated monitoring review report will evaluate the progress in achieving the goals of the RMP through implementation of policies and programs. It also says the RMP monitoring program will consist of ongoing monitoring of indicators and a periodic monitoring review report which documents the regional indicators and milestones. Data will be gathered from conforming municipalities and counties, as well as for non-conforming municipalities and counties to the degree that information is available. Monitoring activities by the Highlands Council will guide potential amendments to the current or to future iterations of the regional master plan. In other words, before, as we approach review of the regional master plan, we need a monitoring report to see what has happened in the Highlands as a result of the regional master plan. It says, initially, the regional monitoring review report will be a baseline assessment of the Highlands region. So, as we're approaching review of the RMP, I think it's really important that we know what's been going on, and it is required in the RMP, and I'd like to know more about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Biocon. Tonight I've been appalled on how this council continues to spend money. As yet, I've heard nothing about the committee that months and months ago was supposed to have formed and figure out ways to compensate the landowners. Still nothing. I guess the Three Monkeys is right on. The only thing I really learned here tonight would have been a great night to sell this council swamp land in Florida, because money was just flying out. You'd have bought anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
George Stafford. I'm from Wharton, and I also work for the Highlands Coalition. I wanted to comment on Mr. Moffitt's style. I'm something of a writer. I'm not a scientist or a hydrologist or a forester or anything else, but he seemed to come up here with, you know, this is like the Warren Report with the, you know, we got the grassy knoll and this vast conspiracy to, and you guys are all complicit in this thing. He sent a letter to the chairman, which I got to see, and went over some stuff. And there's a report on the replacement cost for what naturally occurs in the Highlands at $30 billion over 35 years or something like that. And he seems to imply in the letter that, you know, you could do it for $35.35. If we don't remember Bruce Willis driving down that tunnel in New York City in one of the Die Hard movies anyway. That's a water tunnel number three that's taking 65 years to build. It's $6 billion. It's a spare tunnel. Not going to bring any extra water into the city. They're going to use it to empty water tunnel number one and number two so they could do maintenance on those. There's not a metropolitan area in the world, being in Minnesota or any place else, that doesn't cost huge amounts of money. That everybody's complaining about spending money. You're saving huge amounts of money here by using the natural system that the Highlands gives you now, and that you're trying to uphold and take care of. He impugns your staff, accuses people of fraud. This guy is a bomb thrower, and it's a, you know, it's a tactic that's used, and I really think that the...
I'd rather keep your comments addressed to us as opposed to...
Well, it impugns you. Yeah. It impugns your staff. The man just threatened you people. It should not go on...
Huh? We can take care of ourselves.
Yeah. I understand that, but it shouldn't go on. You shouldn't go without a reply. There's a lot of stuff in the letter that's just over the top. And this is anti-government, anti-regulation on every level. And all it means is that this guy is in the pay of somebody who wants to come in here and do exactly what they please. They want to put the gasoline back in Bud Lake. They want to do whatever they want, make as much money as they can on development. And I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
on that happy note, I hope maybe we can end the meeting on an up note instead of a down note. This is a good time to take a look at agriculture in the Highlands. There are 18 farmers markets in Highland towns. There are 67 roadside markets and 4 wineries. We hope there'll be more wineries in the future. But there's like 4 in Chester that you drive by to get here, and the apple picking is the best it's ever been. It's a long way from just being hay. And so I invite you to visit your farms this month and pick pumpkins and celebrate the agriculture in the Highlands, such as it is.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Is it about this?
Standing right here.
I'll tell you what, I'll do it for you. Close the public portion. This is just a note that the Highlands Festival, New Jersey Highlands Coalition has a Highlands Festival at Waterloo this September 21st and 22nd. Tickets are available online. I'm sure somebody here from the Highlands can give you one of these after the meeting.
I can.
The Highlands Coalition, sorry. Any other comments for King? Yes, sir, Mr. Bile.
Just what I'd like to acknowledge students of our chief counsel, Andy Davis, who are here tonight to, their master's students at the Ohio State School, are here tonight to see regional planning, democracy, and a whole bunch of other things. So we'll just stand up and be recognized. Davis also, because I think there are a few locations that have as much reward as that of teaching your craft to the students and people who are anxious to learn, particularly planning in the Highlands. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jim. There'll be a quiz tomorrow.
Tonight.
Good luck, gentlemen. Any other council comments? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn. Please, sir. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you.